Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Pastor Cheryl Thaxton. Thank you so much for joining me today for Favor Life, the process of there where we walk by faith and not by sight to the call, the destiny, and purpose for God. And when we walk in the belief of knowing that God is changing us line upon line, precept upon precept, glory to glory, height to height, depth to depth, faith to faith, because we're walking in obedient faith that obeys as God instructs us, as God teaches us, as God shows us, as God reveals himself. As we grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we become more and more like him. We become that light. We become that salt. We become that sit on a hill that someone else's lives are going to be changed by. Somebody else's life is going to be encouraged by. Someone else's life is going to know Jesus Christ because of us. So God uses us, unlikely people, for his purpose and his plan. And when he chooses a person, when he chooses a family, when he chooses a tribe, a nation for his glory, then he gets the glory out of them. And I'm so grateful and honored that God has chosen us for such a time as this to be his instruments of righteousness in the earth, to live for his glory, to live by faith and not by sight, to walk knowing that we have hope, that we have an answer, that we are not hopeless, but we have a God who responds to us, who loves us, who is working in our lives, working for us, is for us, and has a plan that's greater than any failure of our past, present, or future. So we are grateful that God has chosen us. We're going to go back to the topic of our discussion where we are seeing God be God again. We're going back to a considered place of blessing. And we're talking about in the book of Luke 1, and we're looking at Mary and Elizabeth, how both of them, these women, are considered by God for a blessing. And they didn't choose themselves. God chose them. And when he chooses you for his purpose, for his blessing, it is an honor. It is it's something that you don't take lightly. It's not something that you just handle any kind of way, but you handle that ministry, that assignment, that calling, that gifting. You handle it with loving care. You handle it knowing that God is watching you. You handle it knowing that God is going to reward you, or God is going to deal with you if you mishandle it. You handle it knowing that God is the giver of it, that God is also the sustainer of it, and that as you walk in that call, that gift, that anointing, that purpose, that destiny, God increases you. God reveals more. He trusts you more. So we understand that. When we get to Luke chapter 1, we see here that first that the Bible speaks of Elizabeth and what's happened with Elizabeth. Elizabeth basically, she's the wife of Zechariah, who's a high priest. He's a tribal priest of the Jews, and he's in the descendant line of Aaron. He's in that descendant tribe of Aaron. He's in that descendant Levite tribe. And so we see here he is a man of importance. We see here that he's a man of honor, of integrity, because he's a priest. And it is his time to go and serve in the temple. It's his time to go in. And during those times, if you were not holy, if the priests had not made sacrifices for themselves or repented, if they went in unworthily because they were going into the holies of holies, they had to be pure. They had to make sure that their life and their repentance and everything was in order, because if they there was bells, a rope with bells on it, on their attached to their foot. And if they didn't hear those bells moving, because everybody couldn't go in there, one person at a time. And it's only the assigned times that they had to go in. And if they did not hear those bells, then they knew that person was dead and they would pull them out. So he had a life that was worthy because he was going in, and they were godly people. Elizabeth and her husband were godly people, and they were careful to obey all God's laws and the spirit and to do what the letter had told them to do. They did all of these things. But Elizabeth had no children. During this time, to not have children was a disgrace. during this time to not have children was really a dissatisfaction to your husband because you gave him no lineage. You gave him nothing to carry on his name. And here she goes through all of this time and she has no children because the Lord has allowed her womb to be shut up. God was allowing her womb to be shut up because he wanted her to give birth at a certain time. He wanted her to do something special at a certain time, and he wanted her to be one that they talked about because it was outside of the timing of what man convened to be normal. And God will sometimes do something in your life that is outside of the timing of what everybody else thinks or what you even think, that he will bless you, that he would use you, that he would promote you, he would establish you, he would have you do something in a time of life that you feel like it's out of timing, but really in God, it is the timing. And so she's here, and God is going to give her a child. When her husband is in the temple serving, the angel meets him in the temple, and he's telling him what's going to happen. He's going to have a son, what the son is going to be called. He lets him know all of these things, and then he says, I'm going to shut your mouth so that you're not able to talk about this until the time that this child is going to be circumcised, and he's named. And so everybody knows that something has happened. Everybody knows that something has occurred because he's lingering inside of the temple very, very long. And when he comes out, he can't speak, but he can't tell what has happened. There are times in your life that God is going to do something with you or tell something to you or reveal something to you or trust you with something. And you won't be able to tell anybody. You're going to have to mute your mouth, so to speak, not to say anything, even though you want to. He might trust you with a relationship with someone that's very, very dear, a holy relationship, a godly relationship, and you won't be able to talk about it. You won't be able to tell people about it. You won't be able to give details. You will have to keep your mouth muted because you're being trusted. You're being trusted. And a lot of times the Lord is trusting you, even with conversations that people trust you with, that they reveal something to you. You being trusted to see, can you hold this and use your influence or use the confidence someone has in you for the glory of God, and know that that person is trusting you to pray with them, to stand with them, to help them, to encourage them, and it's just you and them and God, and you can't take that trust and just throw it to the wind, so to speak, and tell everybody, and tell anybody, and tell those who you want to tell. You have to be quiet. So there are times that God will trust you to not say, reveal the things that he's doing or saying, or even conversations that people are having with you. You've got to be able to handle that and walk in that, knowing that this is a test, that as you pass this test, God will increase you, God will do more. So we see that he's there, and they obey what God has spoken. They obey what God is telling them. They obey, and God allows Gabriel to go and after he visited, after Elizabeth is pregnant, he goes to Mary. And Mary, when she sees the appearance of Gabriel, the angel, he's telling her congratulations. He's telling her blessed and highly favored. He's telling her, giving her salutations and all of these things. And when you see something that is so overwhelming, it can be fearful. It can be something that knocks you, so to speak, kind of off guard, catches you off guard. But the thing is, God will sometimes reveal something to you or show you something in a dream, in a vision. Some people do have open-eyed visions of things and visitations. And God will reveal something to you only when you're ready, only when you're ready to handle it. Mary was ready to handle what God was going to do because she had been getting prepared, so to speak, in the natural for some things, but God was preparing her in the spirit also because it was the time, it was the set time, and God will prepare you for what he's getting ready to do, what he's getting ready to reveal in your life so that you will be ready to go in because it is a considered place of blessing. God has considered you. Job was considered by God. He was considered. He was considered to be tested and tried. He was considered. God trusted him with trouble. He was considered, but afterwards the blessing came. But see, the blessing part is the thing that puts the icing on the cake. It is going through that process of being considered that many of us don't really comprehend or grasp. These two women, just like Job, was considered by God to do something for his glory, to do something that they themselves had not thought about, didn't even ask for, but God considered them. God considers them, and they have to go through something that is almost a mocking. Job went through a mocking with the community and the friends. They were saying, if you were so perfect, why did this happen to you? Why is this trouble happening to you? Why have you lost everything? Why are your children gone? You've done something, and you just need to admit and say it. Okay, Mary is here and she has prepared herself for Joseph. She's not touched a man, and yet she finds herself with a baby. Okay, she has to go through mocking. She has to go through people downplaying her character, her integrity, and everything. Elizabeth goes through mocking because she couldn't have a child, and now she's having a child at an older age, and some of them probably thought it was a tumor, it was something else, that she wasn't pregnant. They thought all kinds of things because she was at the age or the place where she shouldn't be having kids. So the enemy had his way, so to speak, on the outer court of their lives, on the outside, because they had to endure mocking. They had to endure persecution. They had to endure people and family members not understanding. They had to endure all of these things. But inwardly, they knew that this came from God, and they couldn't explain it because it was a supernatural act, a supernatural event. It was something that was spiritual that was taking place. With Job, even though he lost everything, it was a spiritual event that was happening. It was a spiritual warfare. It was a spiritual good versus evil taking place. It was God showing the enemy that he did not have power over someone, because that the enemy didn't have power over Job just because he blessed him, and that was the reason Job served him. Job served him because he loved God. Okay, here it is, these two women. It is spiritual. God wants something seen, done in the earth. It's a spiritual event where God is going to use the righteous seed to bruise the head of the wicked seed, of the devil. So it is a spiritual event going on still. It's a spiritual event, even though it's taking place in the world, and it's taking place in their lives, and people around them are persecuting them and not understanding. It is God's divine will. And you will go through things that look crazy to other people, but God, you will know that it is God, that God assigned this to you, that God trusted you with trouble, that God trusted you and considered you to go through this because there's something in you that he's developing, something in you that he wants to be seen, glory that he wants to reveal, and people's lives that are going to be touched. So God is considering. She gets here and she sees, she hears from the angel that God has decided to do something wonderful with her and bless her. And through all of this, she says, how can this be? When she says, how can this be? She's already got herself in the position of agreeing with what God's saying. Because she wants to know, okay, I'm saying, how can this be? Because I want to know how am I going to do this? Knowing that I haven't seen a man, knowing that I haven't touched a man, knowing that I'm still a virgin. Okay, so she's already said yes. Our agreement with God, our trust in him says yes. And we have to go beyond the yes and now walk out what we said yes to. And we've got to do it with a heart that is pure. We've got to do it with a heart that agrees. We got to do it with a heart that says, Lord, in spite of it all, I still trust you and trust the word that you've spoken over my life. The Bible says that the angel lets her know that Elizabeth, who was barren, is now 6 months pregnant, and that she's expecting in her old age, and that every promise from God will surely come to pass. That's what you've got to hold on to when you're going through something. You've got to hold on to every promise that God has given you. It's going to surely come to pass. You have been considered for a blessing, and God is going to bring you through it. He's going to bless you, but the process is going to be, you're going to be mocked. You're going to be criticized. You're going to be misunderstood. You're going to be ostracized. People are going to treat you with a long hand spoon, but you've got to know that God has done something in you and is doing something in you that is not by the hand or by the work of man's will. will, but it's God's will. And when you submit to that, you're going to have the overcoming testimony in the end. As Elizabeth, she brought forth a child. Mary brought forth a child. You're going to see the blessing there. I'm Pastor Cheryl Thaxton. Have a wonderful worship experience. Thank you so much for joining me today. And we'll be back again next week for Favor Life. Be blessed.